What is wrong with us? This week in particular, I kind of got stuck on that question. What is wrong with us? Now, of course, us is a group that includes me, you and I, and others. But I was thinking about us, far beyond the people who are just in here in this room. Others that include our nation and all the countries of the world. And not just the people of today, but probably going back to the beginning of time, and will probably continue until the end of time. What is it about us? Case in point, I want to share with you a little bit during the Exodus period. And you can read this story in Numbers chapter 11. It's a very colorful episode that I hope you will appreciate. So when you have an opportunity, when you get home, read it for yourself in full. But I will summarize it for you just to get the idea. For the people, the Hebrew people, are in the wilderness. And now we are told that the people complained of their misfortunes. Of their misfortunes. Now remember, they had been freed from enslavement in Egypt. And they are journeying through the wilderness, yes, so there are hardships. But yet still they are led by the presence of God. Seen by a pillar of smoke during the day and a pillar of fire at night. They have Moses as their appointed leader. But we read that the rabble among them had a strong craving. They wanted, quote, meat to eat, unquote. Remember, when they had complained about hunger before, God had provided manna to them. All that he needed to do was pick it up each day. But they've had nothing but manna. And so then they speak of these imaginary times of back in Egypt when they were enslaved. Remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing, they said. And they reflected on eating the best fruits and the best vegetables. Dreaming of something that never even took place. And so then, what of Moses? He appeals to God. He asks this question and many more. Why have you treated your servant so badly? So badly. Speaking of himself, of course. Why is he being treated so badly for this service that he is performing? He was appointed to do this after all. He did not volunteer. He asked, why is the burden of all the people on me? He says, did I conceive all the people? Did I give birth to them? And so addressing the issue at hand, ask, where am I to get meat? He laments how he cannot carry all the people. They are too heavy. This burden that has been posed upon him and the problems that the people are causing. And he says, put me to death at once, if I have not found favor in your sight. He asked God to relieve him of this position. If I have done wrong, if I have failed. But God reassures Moses and provides help. And 70 elders are appointed to go amongst the people and to share the burden. God tells Moses, I will share the Spirit in you with them. And so then Moses addresses the people. with this reassurance and with this promise. And he says to them, the Lord will give you meat until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you. What is wrong with us? But here we talk about how the gift of God's Spirit guides and leads. And even yet, how we can be overwhelmed and challenged and exhausted by one another. The people, they grumbled and they doubted and they rebelled because they did not want to be led. They did not want to submit to authority. And so they express our sinful human traits, a desire for independence, to having control over our lives, of having our own expectations and ours alone, exercising our own agendas. It says so much about us. People throughout history, people today, and the generations to come. The number 70 continued to be significant in the history of the people of Israel. For when it was later used to establish how many members that there would be sitting in the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council, 70. And now in our story today, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, his final journey, the final time that he will travel through these lands. He will not pass this way again. And he appoints 70 others. He sends them ahead to prepare the way, to share the message. And the message being that the kingdom of God has come near to you. This kingdom has been experienced through Jesus. God is present. Not by smoke or fire, but rather in the person of Jesus. And yet, despite the shrewdness of Jesus' teachings, the enlightenment that he brings, despite the power and the healings that had been witnessed, despite the message of acceptance, the message of tolerance, of not imposing judgment upon people, but rather exercising peace and grace, of providing guidance, words to follow, despite all of this, the 70, before they are sent out, are told that they indeed will find themselves not welcomed. That the message will be rejected. That what they have to bring, what they have to share, will not be what the people want. There will be those who will not want to abandon old teachings and old loyalties. People follow someone. People follow something. But in this case, it will not be Jesus. They will not want to include the kingdom in their lives. And again, this says so much about us. A man went for an interview, and it was for a promotion, a new position, more responsibilities, more income, all those things that go with it. Something that he'd been kind of striving for. And so the interviewer says to him, well, Jim, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Jim pauses and says, well, you know, I think my biggest weakness is not listening. Poor Jim. But Jesus tells him that there are those who will listen. Those who will give ear to what you have to say, will hear with thoughtful attention. Those who will be alert to your words. Those who will give consideration. And that the good news will bring change and will bring action and will bring hope. And when the 70 return and they come and they report to Jesus, they share a joy for all that they had experienced and all that had taken place. Jesus shares the image of Satan falling. For this represents human darkness and opposition to what Jesus has to bring. The word Satan means accuser. And is this power, this darkness, that incites people to make accusations against one another. And so often, as we look around us, this darkness and this opposition and this power makes accusations against those who are different, those who are weaker, those who are powerless, those who are vulnerable. This is us. This is the humanity of which we are a part. But that, as we hear the joy of those who had been sent out, we recognize that it can be overcome. For it is also in us to be participants in God's work. It is in us to be participants in the campaign of this kingdom of which Jesus speaks. It is in us to share joy of what God has done for us and what God does through us. As He shares with us the Spirit. Amen.